I'm Bill Littlefield, coming up on Only a Game. Folks in Kentucky sure are lucky. They get to play dartball. But first, I'm joined by Charlie Pierce for our look at the week's news. Hello, Charlie.
Boy, there were other rhymes to that would have gotten you in a lot of trouble.
Position players reported to spring training yesterday, including Manny Ramirez, who signed a minor league contract with the Oakland A's. He won't be eligible to play until 50 games after the season begins due to a positive doping test early last season. So, going to be rooting for him when he does get to play?
Well, he does get, his first game could be May 30th, which is his birthday.
Excellent.
I mean, I assume they're not paying a lot of money for him, but I have no idea what he's being paid, and I would ask him, but he doesn't have any idea what he's being paid either, I would guarantee you.
The Los Angeles Dodgers have lost one bidder. Charlie, Joe Torre's group has dropped out because Frank McCourt won't include the parking lots surrounding Dodger Stadium in the sale of the team. The group says it would be, quote, impossible to run the team without ownership of the parking lots. So what do you think? Do the other bidders all fall away?
Boy, this is still a mess. It's unbelievable. The McCourt family finance global thermonuclear war continues apace. Yeah, I mean, I don't see how you could possibly buy the team and the stadium without the parking lots. That's guaranteed revenue.
The Cubs and the Red Sox have finally agreed that pitcher Chris Carpenter will head to Boston to compensate the team for Theo Epstein's move to Chicago. How long before we know whether the Cubs or the Red Sox got the better deal?
Well, I think we'll know that pretty fast. However, Theo Epstein got 5 years and $18.5 million from the Cubs, and I will guarantee you Chris Carpenter is not getting that from the Red Sox.
Albert Pujols, late of the World Series champion St. Louis Cardinals, has found something to be unhappy about with his new team, the Los Angeles Angels. What's that?
Well, they put up billboards that have his picture and with the words El Hombre on it, and he thinks that somehow this is insulting to Stan Musial, the longtime, you know, virtual face of the franchise. He left the St. Louis Cardinals, who was obviously known as Stan the Man. I see Pujols' point, but I also think it's sort of arcane, and he should just go along with it, basically.
Lynn's sanity took a turn toward the ever more Lynn-sane over the weekend, thanks to a headline posted on the web by a fellow no longer employed by ESPN. Do you think Jeremy Lin's circumstances have made the public, or at least that portion of the public paying attention to the NBA, more sensitive to racism?
I hope they're more sensitive to the phrase, to the fact that you cannot use the word chink in this context. I mean, this should have been obvious to anyone over the age of five. I don't know why there's such an uproar about what happened at ESPN. You just don't do stuff like that.
Hatchet Book Group has announced that they will publish Jeremy Lin, The Reason for Linsanity in May. And if that seems quick to you, I'd like to point out the speed with which we have been subjected to Linsanity, The Improbable Rise of Jeremy Lin, and at least six other Kindle so-called Insta books.
I think probably the strangest one is Jeremy Lin, Advice from Sun Tzu on Basketball and the Art of War.
Well, it wasn't enough Jeremy Lin. Had to put something else.
Can we please let the poor guy learn how to play point guard? He had a real bad night against Miami on Thursday night. Please let him just learn how to play the position and not worry that the NBA doesn't have enough Jeremy Lin.
Boston University has announced the formation of a task force to study, quote, the culture and the climate of the men's ice hockey team. Corey Trevino was kicked off that team in December after he was arrested and charged with sexual assault. On Sunday, a second player, Max Nicastro, was arrested and he was charged with rape. Is this evidence of a particular culture and climate?
There are a few coaches in the country I admire more than Jack Parker, the hockey coach at BU, but something's out of control in that program. I'm beginning to wonder. And this is a phenomenon generally in colleges. Older players come back to school when they don't make it in junior. So you're dealing with essentially 21-year-old sophomores at some of these places. And I'm beginning to wonder, you know, if you come back, you know, after essentially being a professional athlete for 3 years and get thrown into the college context, whether or not there's some adjustment counseling that needs to be done.
On Thursday, the family of Dave Duerson, who played in the NFL from 1983 until 1993 and killed himself last February, filed a wrongful death suit against the National Football League. The family alleges that the NFL, quote, knowingly failed to protect Duerson from the long-term effects of multiple concussions. If this suit is successful, Do you expect many more former players and their families to go the same route?
Oh, yeah, this is the floodgates, and it's not just the NFL. I expect lawsuits against colleges. I expect lawsuits against high schools. I expect lawsuits against Pop Warner leagues. If this lawsuit goes through and the floodgates open, you might wind up seeing football going towards the direction of boxing, as hard as that may be to believe, since football is sort of the sun in the middle of the sports solar system. I have a feeling the NFL's argument is going to be, we didn't know much about concussions then either, which will make the discovery process of this lawsuit very interesting, because we'll see what the NFL knew and when it knew it.
This week we got the results of a Virginia Tech Wake Forest study involving very young football players, which suggests that much of the damage done to players might happen before they reach the third grade. I wonder, should we be turning our journalistic fervor toward Pop Warner?
Well, I think we should be turning our journalistic fervor to the fact that nobody should play football before they're 12 or 13. It's preposterous. I mean, I have a friend, Bob Ryan, the great sports columnist from the Boston Globe, has pointed out that he thinks making any kid under the age of 12 be an offensive lineman should be tantamount to child abuse. The study seems to indicate that hits that are absorbed by second graders can be as forceful, you know, all things being equal, as one you would get in a college game. So, yes, this is someplace where we should look.
Is it time for Mr. NASCAR to weigh in on this issue?
Yeah, Michael Waltrip says that he's concerned about concussions. He had at least 10 in his career, he says. He says he doesn't know what it means to him, but I know it's a concern. NASCAR officials say they aren't aware of widespread concussion-related health problems in their former drivers. Guess what, guys? You're going to be.
Speaking of NASCAR, Mr. NASCAR, who wins the Daytona 500 tomorrow?
You know what? I'm going to go out on that limb right over there, that limb that's laying around the studio.
Our listeners can't see
it,
for
no particular reason.
Take our word for it. It's right over there.
I think Dale Earnhardt Jr. is going to win the race. I think he's in for a big year.
And finally, Charlie, it's time to celebrate a new world record.
Sports!
And this is a tasty one. What have those world beaters in Australia been up to?
Andy Roble put together the tallest stack of pancakes in the world. He beat a 2008 record set in Croatia.
So there's much weeping there.
Absolutely. Built a 76-centimeter tall of 60 pancakes at the Pancake Parlor in Melbourne.
Excellent.
And unfortunately, the Leaning Tower of Pancakes eventually fell over and no one was hurt.
That's good. You can find the sports writing of Charlie Pierce at Grantland, among other places. And, of course, he joins me each week at this time on Only a Game as well. Thank you, Charlie.
That's a stack of pancakes right there.
And pass the syrup.